Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Happy Hump Day edition. Are you happy, Fancy Brian? Happy Hump Day to you, man.
Yeah, the sun is shining and I am air conditioned. I'm pretty good.
Yeah, it's muggy. It's damn hot. And there is a tornado watch effectively for basically the whole state of Wisconsin right now. Troubling weather earlier this week. And apparently with hot, you know, could get problematic. It's percolating out there right now. We'll keep you informed if severe weather could affect you, but it seems like it would be closer to the happier happy hour, closer to 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time, but we'll update you if, pressing severe weather comes our way or your way. But Fancy Brian, wanted to talk about a couple of the headlines I had seen today. I'm going to throw out headlines first, and then we're going to dig in. Here's a headline. The GOP Capitol tours on, January 5th, Loudermilk. Well, he did take an insurrectionist on a tour, and the January 6th committee has released the tapes, and the guy was taking pictures of security checkpoints, points of access, almost like he was, he was on a reconnaissance tour, in direct contrast to what Loudermilk had claimed prior, because first and foremost, Loudermilk claimed, well, he didn't take anybody on a tour. And then that story changed to, well, I took just some constituents, but, nothing troubling, nothing problematic. Except one of the constituents, air quotes, ended up marching into the January 6th, the very next day. And that was the very same guy that was taking, let's call it the reconnaissance photos. Well, that turns to another troubling headline, Vince Bryan. We now know from reporting today, the Proud Boys wanted to trap Congress people in the tunnels, the very tunnels the guy was taking, let's say photographs of, the access points thereof, wanted to trap Congress people there and gas them. I mean, this is a holy crap kind of a moment. This takes it up a tremendous notch. And there's new filings in the courts because the Proud Boys, there are differing Proud Boys, have been charged with seditious conspiracy, right? Well, they planned on holding the buildings. They planned on occupying the Capitol. And I don't mean the peaceful kind that happened in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm talking about the armed up, go to the mattresses, kind of, basically taking and holding the U.S. Capitol by violent force. And if you could trap some Congress people and gas them in the tunnels, well, they're going to be severely incapacitated or one might think dead. This could have been a whole lot worse. New reporting out today. And then look into our backyard, Fancy Brian. There are some fun yet troubling, headlines in our own backyard. The contemptuous, misogynistic, corrupted former Supreme Court Justice Big Lie Gableman. Well, there's some live mic stuff from the courtroom the other day. And my understanding is the judge has what? Not only has he been found in contempt of a Dane County court, the corrupted rigged election special prosecutor in the state of Wisconsin, he faces fines and he faces an ethics referral for his treatment of a female attorney that he basically treated misogynistically in open court and implied or stated, she wouldn't be able to do her job if the judge didn't lead her. So anyways, that's new news for Gableman. I mean, we knew he was this kind of a jacknut, but, you know, he's making it painfully obvious. And then there's Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish. Oh, some troubling youthful indiscretions. And why this never came to light prior, I don't know. You know, she had admitted readily she got an underage drinking ticket in college. Well, you know, I know lots of people that got underage drinking tickets in
you
college.
You try not to get one in college.
Well, Rebecca Clayfish apparently claims she didn't have ID on her, wouldn't have been able to vote that day, not under, you know, the law signed in by her former boss, Scott Walker, not in the state of Wisconsin. But of course, she's 21 years old. Of course she is. But the cop didn't believe her. So the cop scooped her up. We're going to tell this story later when Dom comes. But took her to the police station in the squad car and then opened up the back door to let her out, you know, take her inside, do a little more investigating. And Becky made a run for it. Run, Becky, run! So this now gubernatorial candidate, this law and order candidate, was charged not only with underage drinking, but the new news, also resisting arrest. I mean, that's a bigger deal. You know, you would think that a law and order candidate like Becky Clayfish would have always been a law-abiding citizen. And I'm not talking about breaking the drinking age laws. We all did that. You know, that's part of the college experience. But I can tell you, if I were in a squad car and a cop opened the door, and I was a little, you know, let's just say tipsy or drunk, you know, sort of a little half Rudy Giuliani'd, there's no way in hell, Fancy Brian, I would ever make a run for it. And it's not just because I'm slow.
You're a bigger target.
What's that?
You're a bigger target.
Well, I suspect they would have tased me, bro. How did Rebecca Clayfish not get tased when she tried to flee the cops?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that she's going to spin this as, you know, what I learned from this experience, and this is how I learned from it, right? I'm sure that's what it what personal
learned a little
growth
something
characters.
About criminal intent, dealing with the system, fleeing the cops. Blue lives matter, you know, when you're running away from them. I mean, if she'd have been a black man in 2022, she probably would have gotten shot in the back. Anyway, so those will be a few of the headlines we cover in this big show. Dominic's going to join us in the 4 o'clock in the happy hour. And we got Evan here at the world headquarters, lightly screening your calls at 844-967-2789. Your calls always welcome here. But Fancy Brand, let's kind of get to it. The whole, you know, ruse. Is it a ruse? The whole thing about the January 5th tours at the U.S. Capitol. I mean, is that kind of a big deal? I think it's kind of a big deal. When you've got sitting U.S. congresspeople that claimed, you know, I didn't take anyone on a Capitol tour. But then it turns out you did. You did. And that person took photos. And the photos that that person took, they may have used as, you know, as efficiently as the very next day to help lay the groundwork for possibly trapping congresspeople in the tunnels below the U.S. Capitol and gassing them there. So these new reports out, that would seem to be something more than touristy activity to me.
Sounds really patriotic, though.
Sarah K. Burris, here is the reporting, the early reporting here. Let me get this little pop-up out of the way. Bear with me. In a conversation with Raw Story, Rep. Jamie Raskin, I love it when Raw Story is not only my source, but the original source, baby. In a conversation with Raw Story, Rep. Jamie Raskin, Democrat, he's on the J6 committee, referenced the video the House Select Committee investigating the J6 attack produced Wednesday, showing Rep. Barry Loudermilk giving a Capitol tour to a large group of individuals. The tour took place the day before the attack. Here's the quote. The committee is in possession of a video of one of the tourists who was also clearly part of the mega crowd on January 6th, Raskin explained. He was calling out the names of Democratic members of Congress, Schumer, Pelosi, Nadler, and AOC. And he had a huge reaction we captured on video with a fellow MAGA protester in which the MAGA protester showed off how he converted his American flag into a weapon, sharpened the tip. For over a year, Rep. Mickey Sherrill, Democrat from New Jersey, has maintained she witnessed Republicans giving tours at the Capitol at a time that the building was closed to all tours due to the pandemic. When a member asked the Capitol Police how Loudermilk was able to get around that rule, the member was told that that was because it was approved by the official. The police had no power to do anything. Now, Raskin told the Raw story that it was still part of the investigation and wouldn't comment on whether this video will be part of his presentation in the forthcoming public hearings by the committee. On May 12, 2021, the aforementioned Loudermilk, wasn't there a Loudermilk on the Vikings once upon a time? But anyways, Loudermilk publicly said that he didn't give any tours ahead of the January 6th attack. It was a year later that he admitted that he did give a tour to family, you know, a family with young children. And a camera doing reconnaissance, apparently. By the end of the month, on May 20th, 2022, Loudermilk said, you know, as mentioned, he gave the tour to the family with the kids. On June 14th, well, it's June 15th today, right? On June 14th, the day before the video became public, Loudermilk said he gave a tour to about 16 people. So it's an evolving story from this congressman, this Republican. Two sources familiar with the matter said a member wanting to give a tour could have given one name to the appointments desk and have let an entire group, no, a different group, let in. Rep. Adam Schiff said that the video speaks for itself, sure does, but added, I think it's certainly troubling that Republicans said that there was no such tour. Sherrill signed on to a letter with 30 other members of Congress who expressed concerns over the Republicans who gave such tours. Members, many of the members who signed the letter, including those of us who have served in the military, are trained to recognize, let's call it suspicious activity, as well as various members of our staff witnessed an extremely high number of outside groups in the complex on Tuesday, January 5th. This is unusual for several reasons. Well, the most important of which is they were doing reconnaissance and they wanted to trap you and your Democratic colleagues, but also people like Mitch McConnell. And let's not forget, Vice President Mike Pence wanted to capture them and kill them, gas them in the tunnels. Devil's advocates, there'll be a happy hump day. Lots of news to tell you all about.
Your ruse, your cunning attempt to trick me.
I've sentenced boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to do it. Felt I owed it.
Freedom!
What do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody spies like us. Hey, what do you say?
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition, the hump day. You know, you're celebrating it right now. We'll get to the weekend. Couple days. I wanted to play you a little of the sound, just so you know I'm not being hyperbolic. Now, Loudermilk, this Republican congressman, claimed, oh, I never gave any tours. And then, like yesterday, he admitted, well, I did give a tour, you know, like 16 people. Forgot all about that tour that you've asked me about and I've been accused of giving. You know, I told you I didn't give it to her, but yeah, I did. I did give it to her. So, Fancy Brian, let's hear a little sound of the guy. You know, he talked about it being a family, guy with kids. Well, this is the very guy taking photographs, you know, in the tunnels at the security checkpoints. This is the guy that was doing the reconnaissance the very day before. And here he is on January 6, 2021, you know, on what, Facebook video, something like that, broadcasting himself proudly to the world. Fancy Brian, going to need your help here. Cut number 5. And this is the, what, Loudermilk's buddy. Let's just call him that. Cut 5.
It has begun here at the Washington Monument, Washington, D.C. Say hello to Facebook.
Hey, what's going on, man? Glad this to be here, bro.
This is our fearless leader.
Hey, baby. Dan
Hamilton.
Check out my flag I made, guys.
See Sharp it? And tip.
There you go, baby.
Stamp someone with it.
That's right. That's for somebody special. Somebody special.
Somebody special. I wonder who they mean. Well, let's find out, because they actually name names. Cut six, if you would, Fancy.
All right. We are basically at the Capitol with probably close to 2 million true American patriots. They are swarming and converging, mainly from Constitution Avenue, but from all routes in. There's no escape, Pelosi, Schumer, Nadler. We're coming for you. We're coming in like white on rice for Pelosi, Nadler, Schumer, even you, AOC. We're coming to take you out. We'll pull you out by your hairs. How about that, Pelosi? Go, might as well make yourself another appointment. I'll get done with you. You're going to need a shine up on top of that bald head.
So that was the guy that was taking the photos. That was Loudermilk's buddy. And here's what we know from new court documents filed today, at least reported on today at thehill.com. Court document details Trump supporters plan to occupy congressional buildings and the Supreme Court on January 6. The document filed in federal court on Wednesday appears to lay out a plan in which Trump supporters on January 6, 2021, would have occupied congressional office buildings as well as the Supreme Court. I bet you Clarence and Jenny Thomas would have welcomed them there. Occupied the Supreme Court and demanded a new election in an effort to prevent President Biden from taking office. The document titled 1776 Returns. Remember Marjorie Taylor Greene? She was accused of tweeting out at 1776. Almost like she was in on the plan. Just think about that a little bit more. The document titled 1776 Returns had previously been referenced by prosecutors who charged a group of Proud Boy leaders with seditious conspiracy over their role in the attack at the Capitol last year. An attorney representing Zachary Real, one of the Proud Boy defendants, attached the document to a motion submitted today, asking for her client to be released from a pretrial detention. Well, if you include this document, I don't think that's going to help your client get out, but anyways, it's unclear who drew up the plan or whether the group had agreed to set it into motion. The document does not list the Capitol building itself as one of the targets to occupy. And prosecutors said earlier in the month that Enrique Tarrio, again, he is the leader of the Proud Boys, had received the document about a week before the January 6th from an unnamed female acquaintance. The plan calls for groups to infiltrate, then occupy the Supreme Court, the six buildings that house the offices for members of Congress. The goal of the plan was to maintain control, and this is a direct quote, to maintain control over a select few but crucial buildings in the D.C. area for a set period of time, presenting our demands in unity. We need many people as possible inside these buildings, the document reads. These are our buildings. They are just renting space. We must show our politicians we the people are in charge. Whole different we the people than our friend L.A. Tom likes to talk about, right? So this is new news. This is new news, and I got a little bit more new news. Again, from the legal filings earlier today, Oath Keepers intended to, and here's the quote, turn on the gas while lawmakers were in the tunnels, photographed by the aforementioned and quoted January 5th Capitol tourists. Let's call them tourists. That's what our pal Ron Johnson would call them. Right-wing extremists charged in the U.S. Capitol riot threatened to gas lawmakers in the tunnel, where Rep. Barry Loudermilk, well, that's the congressional colleague of Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're both Republicans from Georgia, led a tour the previous day. The Georgia Republican led a group of 15 individuals, later identified by police as constituents, on a tour of the Capitol complex, where one participant who took photos of the hallway, staircases, and tunnels. And that same man was shown on a video from January 6th shouting threats against individual Democratic lawmakers. We heard that. They're coming to take you out. pull you out by your hairs. When I get done with you, you're going to need to shine the top of that bald head, Nancy Pelosi, right? Come back. We'll tell you more. Because there was a greater threat. They were trying to trap the congressional people in the tunnels and then turn on the gas. Come back. More Devils have the Humpty Edition. Join us on the phones. They're toll-free for you at 844-967-2789.
Michael Jackson didn't come over to my house. He's a bad child. But his sister did.
And they weren't there for him. They were there for me.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, if Dom were here, we would both chastise you, you smart-ass Fancy Brian. You know it's not the same occupation that happened here at the Wisconsin State Capitol. That was a peaceful protest. That was not a coup-directed insurrection. We had no intention of locking the lawmakers in the tunnels and freaking gassing them out. Now, the... you feel properly chastised, I hope. You and Sting both.
See, I thought you were talking about the song, "Every Breath You Take," and you know, also involving the police as well. I mean, I got flow here, man.
Oh, you're flowing. We will come back to more of Brian's musical selections later. But Fancy Brian, we got to play some sound right now, and we're gonna continue this reporting about this troubling filing in the courts. The Proud Boys were trying to lock the Congress people in the tunnels beneath the Capitol. And Barry Loudermilk, a Republican congressperson from Georgia, took one of the people. Now, he claimed he didn't take anybody on tours January 5th, even though people had witnessed him taking tours. Oh, it wasn't me. It didn't happen. And then yesterday, before the January 6th committee released the video of his buddy out there, you know, saying he's going to go stab Nancy Pelosi and pull out some hair, yank him out by their hair. Well, that very person was on the tour taking photographs of the tunnels, the security checkpoints, and others. And a public filing in the federal courts happened today. We'll get back to that. But the January 6th committee hearing. Now, I had been optimistic, Fancy Brian, there would be more hearings today. There will not be. But the committee did make an announcement. There will be more hearings beginning tomorrow. We got a little sound from Liz Cheney, the Republican congresswoman from Wyoming. I believe she's talking, giving a little preview of what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's play it for the people. Fancy, we're going to play it out live, the J6 hearings, again, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock Central Time. We're doing it live. So tune in right here. But let's play it for the people. Cut 10, Rep. Liz Cheney.
In our next hearing on Thursday, the Select Committee will examine President Trump's relentless effort on January 6th and in the days beforehand to pressure Vice President Pence to refuse to count lawful electoral votes.
Okay, more from Cheney, cut 11.
President Trump's advisors knew what he was saying was false, and they told him so directly and repeatedly.
And was it criminal? Probably, cut 12.
As a federal judge has indicated, this likely violated two federal criminal statutes.
And one more plot to overturn the election. This is Congresswoman Liz Cheney. This actually dropped yesterday. We're playing it for you today. Cut 13, please.
President Trump had no factual basis for what he was doing, and he had been told it was illegal. Despite this, President Trump plotted with a lawyer named John Eastman and others to overturn the outcome of the election on January 6th.
Well, we're going to talk more about John Eastman in this big show, and we can talk to you, 844-967-2789. And actually, Fancy Brian, I know you've got more of this. This was a couple-minute, you know, statement made by Liz Cheney, but it also included a clip, a preview of some of the witness testimony we're going to see tomorrow in the big hearing. Fancy Brian, if we could get that part, that's what I'd really like to play for, you know, our fair audience. You got that? Okay, play it for the people. I'm sorry. Bear with me just a second. I want to see if I can get this right. First is Liz Cheney, and then it's testimony. Shoot, I don't know who it is. I have to look
it up. I have it up here. I'll let you know as we go.
Okay, that'd be great. Play it.
It was the day after Eastman. I don't remember why
he called me. This is Eric Hirschman.
He texted me or called me, wanted to talk with me, and he said he couldn't reach others. And he started to ask me about something dealing with Georgia and preserving something potentially for appeal. And I said to him, are you out of your effing mind? Right? I said, I only want to hear two words coming out of your mouth from now on. Orderly transition. And then he screamed and said, I don't want to hear any other effing words coming out of your mouth, no matter what, other than orderly transition. Repeat those words to me. And I screamed that. Eventually he said, orderly transition. I said, good, John. Now I'm going to give you the best free legal advice you're ever getting in your life. Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it. And then I hung up on him.
And then he hung up on him. I've got a little coverage from the Washington Post, Greg Sargent. I mean, plot's thickening really quickly. Someone's pouring some cornstarch and not stirring very well because that plot is thickening, baby. Decoding Liz Cheney's big hint about John Eastman and Donald Trump. This from Greg Sargent at the Washington Post. We just heard the little preview. I'm going to say it again. Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it. So warned one of former President Donald Trump's lawyers in a video released Tuesday by the January 6th Select Committee. That lawyer was testifying about a message he sent to John Eastman, who developed a blueprint. A blueprint? Yeah, let's call it a blueprint for Trump to pressure his vice president, Mike Pence, into subverting the 2020 election. The suggestion, of course, is that Eastman's activities were criminal. I think they were. And the release of that video, which largely featured Rep. Liz Cheney previewing Thursday's hearing as committee vice chair, had its desired effect. It built media anticipation for a new set of revelations. I'm so eager. I'm so gleeful about these hearings. We're going to play them live. Did I mention that? 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time, right here on Devil Radio and the Shaw. Back to this important article. But to really grasp the importance of this, focused on a different quote, one from Cheney. In the video, Cheney reminds us the committee has convincingly demonstrated that Trump was extensively informed he'd lost. Cheney then said Thursday's hearing will focus on Trump's relentless pressure on Pence to subvert the electoral count in Congress. Here was the quote from Cheney. President Trump had no factual basis for what he was doing, and he had been told it was illegal. That, of course, is Cheney. Despite this, she added, Trump plotted with Eastman and others to overturn the election on January 6, 2021. Now, according to Greg Sargent, a crucial hint there is that Trump had been told this was illegal. This suggests the committee might furnish new evidence that Trump had been warned that such pressure, which constituted an effort to push Pence into violating his official duty, would violate the law. Well, you can't pressure the vice president into breaking the law. That would also be criminal intent. Do tell more, Greg Sargent. A source close to Cheney tells me the committee is very likely to present such evidence. When Cheney says such things, the source says it's based on information the committee knows. Little tease, right? Now, Trump's pressure on Pence to abuse his role as president of the Senate by delaying the election conclusion is the key that unlocks the whole scandal. Eastman concocted a bogus legal justification for Pence to secure this delay, which would allow the states to revisit the voting, find it fraudulent, and certify sham electors for Trump overturning his loss. That's the plan, right? That's the coup plot. But also critical is that Trump was told this would be illegal on Pence's part. What's more, Trump appears to have been told his pressure on Pence to do that might also be illegal. So not only does Trump know it's illegal for Pence to do it, Trump is also forewarned to pressure Pence to do it is illegal on Trump's part. Sorry, I'm kind of reading ham-handedly. Hopefully I explain better. What do you know about this part of the story? We know that Pence's counsel drafted a memo forcefully informing Trump that if Pence carried out a scheme, he'd be in violation of the Electoral Count Act of 1887, which governs how Congress counts presidential electors. Which means Trump was told he was pressing Pence to violate his official duty and to break the law. Like Trump cares, man. Yeah, Pence, break some laws. Yet Trump kept doing so, including on January 6th, when he hammered Pence again in a phone call and then whipped up the mob to put still more pressure on Pence to carry out the dirty deed. On whether Trump was told his act of bringing this pressure might also be illegal, recall that the Select Committee has obtained relevant text between Fox News' Sean Hannity. Man, it'd be ironic if Hannity's text were the damning text that got Trump in, you know, more legal jeopardy, but let me read on. You know, the text messages between Fox News' Sean Hannity and Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows. In them, Hannity suggested he had inside knowledge of the White House conversations about whether Trump's pressure on Pence was legal. Hannity even seemed to suggest the whole White House counsel's office might quit over this. So does the committee have more evidence that Trump or his top advisors were informed that pressuring Pence violated the law? Question mark. Cheney sure seemed to hint as much. So what laws might be implicated here? A federal judge recently declared that Trump's pressure on Pence might have violated two laws. One prohibits the obstruction of an official proceeding, you know, the counting of the electors. The other bars conspiracy to defraud the United States. Trump and Eastman may have conspired to disrupt that count. I would say they did. If Trump had been told pressuring Pence was illegal, it could buttress the case that Trump violated either of these statutes. It could constitute more evidence that Trump did one or both of these things. Let's call it corruptly, says Randall Eliason, a white-collar crime specialist. His quote, conspiracy to defraud the U.S. and conspiracy to obstruct a congressional proceeding require the government to prove corrupt or wrongful intent. This is one more piece. What do they call it? Of evidence? I know Trump's not a big believer in the evidence, but, you know, it's evidentiary. In other words, if Trump were informed that pressuring Pence had put him on shaky legal ground, yet he continued doing so anyways, it could disarm the argument that Trump simply believed he'd won the election and that he was merely exercising his legal options in response. Eliason cautioned that this would represent one piece of a broader effort to prove Trump's corrupt intent throughout. Other pieces include strong evidence that Trump knew he'd lost, yet tried to overturn the results anyways, and that Trump pressured the Justice Department. This is the most troubling part. That Trump pressured the Justice Department to manufacture fake evidence of widespread voter fraud to create a pretext for the whole scheme. In this narrative, Eliason said Trump pressuring Pence would constitute one of a number of incidents that tend to show his state of mind. We still don't know if Trump or his co-conspirators will ever face a criminal investigation. Come on, man. Greg Sargent, don't talk like that. You're wrecking my buzz here. But Cheney just dropped a big hint about the case the committee will make against both Eastman and Trump. Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. Indeed. Greg Sargent at the Washington Post. You know, we got some great lawyers on the team here, man. I can't wait till Saturday. You know, a couple more hearings play out between now and then, I think. At least one on Thursday. And on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m., right here on Devil Radio and The Shaw, we got our own legal eagle, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. And Jim will have some morning cannolis. He'll break down the latest from the J6 hearings. And we may just invite Jim back on Fridays. He's a frequent flyer on Fridays. We appreciate when he does so. So there's some new news out there, folks. And I mean, I have suspected the worst. And they've exceeded my expectations. Gassing Congress people in the Capitol chambers or perhaps in the tunnels underneath. We've got insurrectionist tours being led by Republican congressional members. And that's not even the ones that objected to the election or were part of the coup attempt. I mean, I can't wait till we start seeing the evidence laid out against Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, he's in this mix as well. He's one of the conspirators, along with Eastman, Navarro. Can't forget Trump, of course. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. The plot is thickening. Like me and Fancy's waistline. 844-967-2789. I'll speak for myself. Mine's thickening.
Get impeached. I went up a lot in the polls when I got impeached.
I think the White House could have handled this better.
It's called the Stop Snitching Campaign.
Didn't do it. Lawyer f***ed me.
And they weren't there for him. They were there for me.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubble gum. And we're all out of bubble gum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Humpty Edition. Ironic you play that little liner. You remember Mo Brooks, guy that wore a flak jacket to the Ellipse on January 6th. Congressman claimed it was his congressional duty. He'd been invited down by the president. And, you know, that was rejected. But then he gave a speech. What did he say? Some fancy brand. I know we got it in the archive somewhere. Something about kicking ass. Today's our day to go kick ass. Something of that effect. Well, the headline over at the Raw story, no loyalty. I would say no respect. This guy's getting treated like Rodney Dangerfield right now by the former president. Now, who is more loyal than a guy that goes to the Ellipse and tries to help you stir up an insurrectionist coup? And then the next elective cycle rolls around and Trump endorses this dude's primary opponent, Mo Brooks' primary opponent. And that's got Mo Brooks feeling butt hurt and smarting a bit. Let me read briefly. Rep. Mo Brooks, Republican from Alabama, again condemned former President Donald Trump after he publicly endorsed the lawmaker's establishment-backed primary opponent. In an interview with the Alabama.com columnist Kyle Whitmer, I'll throw it out there, Brooks decried Trump for first rescinding his endorsement and then backing rival Kate Britt in a race to be Alabama Republican Party's nominee for an open U.S. Senate seat. It's quite clear that Donald Trump has no loyalty to anyone or anything but himself. You're just noticing, Brooks? Come on. Brooks then speculated that Trump didn't want to take a risk by endorsing him because he had just suffered a humiliating defeat in his attempt to take down Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who refused to intervene to overturn the results of the 2020 election in the Peach State. Oh, it's a peach. Donald Trump just had his head handed to him by Georgia voters, having lost five major races that he endorsed in, and he's tried to restore his brand, Brooks said. And he looked at who he thought he had the best chance of winning, and that's who he endorsed. The ironic part, Brooks, is it wasn't you. I mean, even if he's being self-serving, he's self-serving, and you don't look like the best dish on the menu. You know what I'm saying? Let me read a little bit more. And he looked at who he thought had the best chance of winning, and that's who he endorsed. It had nothing to do with philosophy of government other than that. He abandoned the conservative movement and the MAGA agenda in order to try and improve the reputation of his brand. I don't know if you know this, Brooks, but that's what the man does.
And then he told me he was going to pay me, and he didn't.
And you know, if you're one of his ex-wives, and he told me he'd be true.
I gave him money for a business, and he gave me back less than I gave him.
A little bit more here from the article, because we always try to give you more. The Alabama congressman had tried to remain on good terms with Trump, even after Trump pulled his endorsement earlier this year. You know, I am happily married, but Fancy Brian, if my wife pulled her endorsement of the marriage, I wouldn't keep coming around. Hey, baby, still love me, don't you? Don't you? I know you handed me these divorce papers, but you still love me, right? Just comes off as a little, let's just call it desperate.
Believe me.
I can promise you. This, again, Brooks, the very bold-sounding Brooks here. This I can promise you. If I prevail in this Senate race, that's a big if, Donald Trump and I will be best buddies. Yeah, because Trump loves a winner. And you, Brooks, have what? No care about your... I mean, if you've been abandoned in such a way and you win, you're going to be best buddies with him too, right? I mean, that's a two-way street. Takes two to tango, Brooks. You can only be besties, BFF, if you also participate in the BFFing. Don't you think? Am I wrong about that?
These loyalties move like wrestling factions. Next thing you know, they're going to be the bad guys. Then Hulk Hogan's a good guy again. Who knows?
One other thought about Georgia quickly. Georgia officials hit with subpoenas and probe of GOP effort to breach voting systems. You know, they have evidence already that the machines were breached, not during the election, but in the after the fact. A little bit of reporting here on that topic. Attorneys have subpoenaed local elections officials and a former Republican Party chair in a rural Georgia county to find out how a group of 2020 election deniers improperly accessed a voting system server last year, according to the Daily Beast. The lawsuit brought by voting rights activists was approved by U.S. District Judge Amy Totenberg, who expressed great concern about the unauthorized access of the voting system server. Here's a quote. Text messages acquired by the Daily Beast show how then Coffee County GOP Chair Kathy Latham and Elections Board member Eric Chaney, not the suddenly good Chaney's, a different spelling, C-H-A-N-E, arranged for a team of computer technicians to access the local election management system at the government office on none other than the afternoon, wait for it, Fancy Brian, of January 6, 2021. Conspicuous, the timing, you know, geez. How unfortunate the timing. It fell on the same day as a coup plot being perpetrated by the former president. You wonder if this is part of a grander conspiracy, like a 7-part plan.
Well, maybe it was omitted from the calendar.
It was approximately at the same time the insurrectionists were storming the Capitol, according to the reporting here. The subpoenas require information from Latham, Cheney, the County Elections Board, and several others. Also subpoenaed were Paul Maggio, an executive at a computer forensics and data storage company, and bail bondsman Scott Hall. Additionally, the subpoenas target Misty Hampton, who was the Coffee County election supervisor at the time of the visit, but has since been forced to resign. Oh, that's unfortunate. As well as her replacement, James Barn, who has also since left office as well. Very corrupt there in Georgia, apparently. Is there more here? Is there more? Cotton implicated himself in the growing scandal by admitting that he forensically examined Coffee County's voting system in an unrelated court document spotted by the Washington Post on Sunday. So the guy basically confessed in an unrelated court filing, and he didn't mean to do that. I mean, who does that? I didn't mean to say this aloud, but, you know, I did break into the elections computer in a fraudulent and illegal fashion. And that's the replacement dude. The prior also, had forced to resign because she allowed access to the voting machines. Rigged election. You know, but they're talking about the next one. Come back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates is next. We'll go to the phones at 844-967-2789. Wolf, welcome my hungover birthday day after celebrating buddy Dominic onto the panel. And we'll turn our attention to Becky Clayfish, drunken co-ed on the run, and Gableman, the contemptuous, misogynist, corrupted former Supreme Court Justice.
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
And they weren't there for him, they were there for me.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.